Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Amazing Race Rewind podcast, the podcast where we rewind back in time to watch the earliest seasons of The Amazing Race for the first time. My name is Andrew.
And I'm Jill.
And we are here today with the season premiere of season 5. And you know what? What a way to start off with a bang.
Okay, so I didn't like it.
Okay, here we go, right off the bat.
I thought that, mind you, mine are more editing notes, but you obviously liked it, so what do you think?
So my opinions and thoughts off the top was, it was very high energy. Everybody there was so in it to win. I thought everybody was playing well, other than like the few missed clues, which were obviously not great. But I think everybody was really there. Everybody was really hungry. I liked pretty much every team. Like, I was not... When we were getting down to the end, I was like, I don't really want anybody to get eliminated. So overall, I think it was a really fun, fast-paced episode. We got a lot out of it. And I'm feeling good about season 5, episode 1.
Wow. I could not feel more differently. I thought the episode was way too long. I was bored. I was actually really bored about 3/4 way through. I was checking the time left, thinking, oh my God, when is this gonna... Here's the thing. They were showing so much of the action, but none of it was particularly exciting. I feel like this time they felt like they had to overcompensate and show every single team doing every single task. And just no matter if it was good TV or bad TV, they had to give every single team so much time. And I don't know, none of the teams stuck out to me other than the bowling moms, but they, I didn't like it. I was bored.
How did Charlotte and Myrna not stick out to you?
Like, they did, but I don't know, like, here's the thing. Right off the bat, every single thing that happened on this race was covered in way too extensive of detail. I did not need 45 seconds of them running down the pier. This is not a Tom Cruise action movie, okay?
Okay, I will give you that. I did think the beginning was a little bit slow, but I did not find that the episode was lagging at all. I was actually the opposite. I was like, oh my God, there's only 10 minutes left. Like, how are we almost done?
I saw 10 minutes left and I went, thank God. Whatever you call it, like, it started lagging. And I went, you know what? I don't really care to see the end. Like, I don't care who gets eliminated. I thought I would just be fine to come on here and be like, Andrew, I couldn't watch the end. Just tell me who got eliminated. I don't care.
This is unprecedented. I don't think we've never had this before. We've never disagreed like this.
I really didn't like it.
Okay.
And like, none of the teams really stood out to me.
I was ready to come on here and say, this is the best premiere we've ever had. I was ready to say that, and I will. I liked it.
Okay, well, I guess we should just get into it then.
Yeah, let's
there's get nothing into else it. To do. We'll start with the teams, obviously. Or before we get into that, you know what I did love? We stumbled across this maybe 30, 45 second clip of Phil, which is just, it's like Phil's Amazing Race moments, and it's just kind of a mashup of clips of him answering like interview questions, and he's talking, obviously, you know, they're 5 seasons in, the show's gained some ground, and he was just talking about favorite moments or what he likes, and he's like, you know, people come up to me on the street and he's like, oh my, Phil from The Amazing Race, Phil, can you eliminate me?
Yeah.
I love that. Eliminate.
You've never heard eliminate?
No.
No? Oh, that's like his main thing. His handle on Instagram is literally eliminator.
That is awesome. It's a little bit of a, you know, I'm being exposed. I don't follow Phil. I don't follow anyone on Instagram, to be fair.
Yeah.
But, wow. Yeah, I heard that and I thought, that is the best thing since sliced bread.
The Phil-eliminated, yeah.
I got more enjoyment out of that than the entire episode.
Holy cow. I cannot disagree more. I was like, what is Phil doing here? I thought that was so useless.
I thought it was peak comedy.
Okay, anyway.
Anyway.
This episode first aired July 6, 2004. And we are starting near Santa Monica. And Phil is doing his opening intro on a boat.
On a, yeah, like a little speedboat.
Yeah.
In the ocean right alongside the beach.
And all the teams are pulling up in lifeguard transport vehicles. which was a bizarre choice because, like, that's not really a notable form of transportation.
It's a car. We'll take it. It's a car.
Yeah. And we just get right into the teams. Okay. The first team that we get introduced to are Brandon and Nicole.
They describe themselves in the opening line as committed Christians who play too hard. They're models, and I guess Nicole won Miss Texas. She won Miss Texas USA and states that because of this, she, like, because she's used to competition, she'll have an advantage.
Sure. I mean, I don't really know much about how, like, pageants work, but I don't know if it would entirely translate, if there are any transferable skills here.
Oh, what's that movie? Have you ever seen Miss Congeniality?
I watched the first bit of it, but I didn't like it.
Oh. Well, I think if you're Sandra Bullock in a pageant, maybe, you know, it's quite competitive. But other than that, like, I know there are, like, academically based questions and stuff within a pageant. But I don't know. To me, it's not the same level of intensity. Yeah.
She felt as though she's prepared. But this team didn't really give us much. This was one of the teams that I could have left this episode.
I feel like they weren't shown a lot, or they just didn't do things notable enough to gain enough screen time in the first episode.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, next up, Cammy and Carly, identical twins, and they're, all I have is quote unquote, manipulating.
Yeah, they are talking about how, because they're twins, they can just communicate non-verbally. They're also saying this while the clip playing over that is this just them head bumping a soccer ball back and forth. But then they said they're here to manipulate. They're manipulators.
Yeah, and this team is fierce. I was rooting so hard for this team.
Really?
Yes.
I didn't like them that much.
They were, like, in the airport. They were running around. They were, like, trying to get things done throughout the whole time. I don't know. They just really resonated with me. Cammy and Carly, I'm with you.
I was sick of them on my screen. I found them a little bit grating.
Not me.
No hate to them. Like, again, like you said, they were in the game. They were in it to win it. They understood the spirit of The Amazing Race.
Yes.
But I think at times it was too much for me.
Okay, fair enough. Maybe it'll become too much for me as the season goes on, but...
But you know who won't become too much for you?
Linda and Karen. Queens.
The bowling moms.
The bowling moms. Okay. So, I don't know. This might be my hot take, but I thought they were kind of underwhelming this episode. Like, I was expecting more from the bowling moms.
I agree. However, I think that also may be due to the fact that they were covering all 11 teams so extensively that they didn't really give substantial screen time to any one team.
And I don't think they had any, like, really great moments. I think I like the fact that they call themselves the bowling moms.
Their t-shirts just say, like, bowling moms.
Yeah, one of them says bowling, the other one says moms. And just, like, their whole, what they represent as a team is what we like.
I loved them. Like you said, yeah, honestly, and this goes into what I was saying, it was too long an episode. It was so long an episode, and no teams really did anything of note. No team did anything that was like, oh, that was hilarious, or that was so innovative or creative. It was just kind of an hour of mid.
I thought Charlotte and Myrna, they were bringing it.
But
did you see Charlotte's whistle when she was trying to hail the taxis?
Oh, I knew you would bring up the whistle.
You want to talk about, oh, there's nothing innovative going on? Did you see the whistle?
Okay, we'll get to them in a second. First, we have to cover a team who really got no screen time, Marshall and Lance. The only note I have is they are brothers who run a pizza restaurant.
Yeah, they're from Dallas. I think they describe themselves as abrasive and loud. They, from the screen time that they got, they were not shown positively. When they first came on the screen and they were, like, describing themselves, I was like, oh, this is going to be, like, a Kevin and Drew type of team. But
that's what I thought, too.
As we kind of saw them move across the race, there were some comments that were made that were in poor taste, and I don't think their vibe is one that can be described as similar to Kevin and Drew.
No. Now on to Charla and Myrna, who are cousins.
These girls were the star of this episode.
They got the most screen time out of anyone.
They got the most screen time. They're definitely being edited as underdogs, and the show definitely wants you to root for them in that the way that they're showing them.
Yeah.
And it's not hard to root for them either.
No. And I should also add, is it Charla or I can't tell them apart?
Charlotte is the little person.
Yeah, we should also add Charlotte is a little person.
Yeah.
And she's talking about in her interview how she wants to break stereotypes. She wants to be like a force, and a force she was. She yes. was, like you said, we'll talk about the whistle. She was everywhere, and she just had probably akin to whatever the twins were. I don't forget their names. She had their kind of go-get-em energy.
Yes. She may be small, but she was mighty.
Oh, my goodness. She was really
mighty. Can't wait to see what Charlotte and Myrna have to bring, because they sure brought it this episode.
They were the energy.
It was not enough to save the episode, according to
you. Not enough to save the episode, but when they were on screen, I actually was a bit engaged.
They were, yes, they were engaging. And we also have Dennis and Erica.
Who? Honestly, like, I don't remember anything they did.
Well, Dennis, we'll talk about this, but he was the one who was causing the drama at the airport because he was holding up the line.
That's true. There was that.
So this team is formerly engaged and trying to reconcile. Here we go.
They definitely, actually, I do remember them from a couple instances because they would, or specifically Erica was kind of verbally blunt, shall we say. She said it like it is. If she was mad, she was mad.
Yeah.
Not in a super bad way. I mean, I made that sound very intense, but she would just be like, it's your fault, or you did this, or like stuff like that. So that's about all I got from them. I don't really remember anything else.
And she says in her intro package that she could definitely see them having a few blow-ups.
Oh, yeah, they knew.
Okay, coming on to Bob and Joyce.
There wasn't a lot with them. They are both widowers who met on the internet. But yeah, again, just another team that to me was... Most of these teams were shown a lot moving around here and there, but nothing of significance happened. We saw them go from place to place and do the tasks, but it wasn't... Nothing of note happened, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. They just kind of like... They did their thing. They flew under the radar this episode.
Yeah.
They're like the quote-unquote older team of the season. And despite that, they did very well this episode.
They did very well, yeah.
Yeah. So, hooray for Bob and Joyce. Coming up next is a team that I'm already familiar with because they were on season 31, which I watched. Colin and Christy.
So they get married. They stay together?
They do stay together. But so the thing is that I know what they're known for because obviously they talk about it on when they come back on season 31.
Okay.
So I kind of know like what their journey is.
And, so
like,
you what need to keep quiet.
What their main moments are, yeah.
Well, does that mean they win?
It doesn't mean anything.
Okay. So for those of you who are unlike Andrew, who have not seen season 31, Colin and Christy are a dating couple. Christy seems nice, but sitting right beside her is the person with the most intense head-on stare you have ever seen. Like, he was, and I thought, surely they have to address this, followed up immediately by his own interview where he thinks he's the most intense person in the history of this race to do this race.
Yeah.
Like, his stare could kill.
His stare could kill, and so could his haircut. I was not vibing with his hair. It's not a good look. But Colin and Christy, an intense team. They say they're both, quote, very stubborn and aggressive leaders.
And apparently we have more to learn about them.
There's much more to learn about them, I think. And considering I know their kind of story arc in season 31, I'm interested to see their origin story on season 5.
Okay.
Yeah. And that is all I will say. This next team, I really enjoyed.
Chip and Kim, yeah. They were a good attitude. I think they weren't shown enough. Because when they were on screen, I did like them, but they were not on screen a lot. They are a married couple, and they started a computer company. And they talk about their strength being that because they work together, they are basically with each other 23 hours a day. Yeah. So being together for the duration of this competition won't be an issue.
Yes. I thought they were a great team. I thought they were super animated, super reactive. I think Chip is a very good narrator, and like the way he describes things. Describes things and his tone and his inflection and his voice is very animated. So I really like them. And I'm excited to see more of Chip and Kim.
Yes. Now, here's another team that had quite a for lack of better words, a bloody start to the race.
Truly, Jim and Marcia. So their main storyline was Jim splitting his knee open within the first 5 minutes of the race.
Yeah, so Jim is ex-military and Marcia's his daughter. And quite literally, the minute Phil calls the race, they are running down Santa Monica Pier. And he, I don't know if he got tripped or banged into something or just tripped on his own and got quite the gash in his knee. And you're seeing this evolve, but it's only, we'll get into it later, but he had to get, what did he say, 25 stitches?
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was insane.
But more on that later. They had that dynamic where it was father-daughter, but like Marcia was like, my dad still sees me as a 10-year-old. And just like she's kind of trying to prove herself to him. Kind of like that Andrew and Dennis from season 3 sort of dynamic.
I would not have thought. I forgot Andrew and Dennis existed. No hate to them, but they didn't do anything notable to make me. We could do a slideshow of past teams and I would not remember half of them. Okay. You could ask me to name teams from, like, name 10 teams from the past 4 seasons. I couldn't do it.
Wow. Yeah, we were just talking about the deep dive about how we're encyclopedias. Okay, anyway. Okay, the last team that we get introduced to are Allison and Donnie.
So, Allison was, what did she say? She was on Big Brother, I guess, probably the year before this. So, I don't know what season of Big Brother that would have been. She came in second, but it sounds like they were together before she went on, and then she kind of cheated on Donnie while in Big Brother. Is that right?
So, I haven't seen the season. I know she was on season 4 of Big Brother, but I have like some, I don't know how I have this knowledge, but I like have kind of an understanding of Allison from Big Brother 4.
Okay.
Just because like I've seen like seasons of Big Brother before and I've like consumed Big Brother content. So her reputation was pretty much was that she was very controversial because she was kind of a pioneer of using her sexual prowess to manipulate men. And a form of strategy. So she was doing that in the house. And I mean, some say it's not a good thing to do, but others say it was effective. I mean, it got her to second place.
That's true. Because how does Big Brother work? You're voted off by everyone else?
Yeah, pretty much.
Isn't that like the premise of another show?
It's like Survivor, but there's just like Big Brother has more steps to it within like the voting out process. But
anyway,
that's kind of Allison's reputation from what I know. I mean, I didn't watch her season, but she's here and she's with her boyfriend,
who Donnie is kind of obviously upset about what she did while on Big Brother, but they're trying to use this to make up for it.
Yeah, still enough. And this is kind of the first reality TV crossover that we have.
That's true.
For The Amazing Race. So there we go.
It's also the first time that kind of someone who's been on TV before in some capacity. Like, you know, last season how Monica and Sheree were kind of the first celebrity adjacent people to be on TV. This is the first person who's first celebrity adjacent people to be on the race. This is the first time where someone who's quote unquote been a celebrity of some status is now on the race.
Yeah, somebody who was known before they came on for being on TV. Okay, so that is our season 5 cast.
Do you have any bets on who wins?
Okay, here's the other thing.
Do you know?
Okay, just give me a second.
Oh, you know!
Hold on, let me explain myself. As we were like introducing things and like things were coming up, something was like pulled within the recesses of my brain where I like recall watching a YouTube video like maybe 5 years ago that was like talking about The Amazing Race 5 and like I recognized some of the teams and I was like, I know who wins. I know.
So what's the point, Andrew? I don't like the season. Why are we doing this? Why do I have to put myself through this?
See, this is the season I guess I know the most about because I know who wins and I know about Colin and Christy. So
they win.
We don't know that.
Okay.
We don't know that.
Okay. You're a bad liar.
We don't know. I don't know. It could be freaking Marshall and Lance. It could be Charlotte Mirna. It could be Cammy and Carly. I don't know. It could be anybody. Moving on. It's about the journey, okay?
Moving
it's not about
on.
The destination.
moving on.
This is not my fault. Okay,
well, so this defeats the purpose of our whole show.
This is not my fault. No, it's not.
All right. We can blame Andrew from 5 years ago.
The show will still go on. How was I to know?
Okay. Whatever. So Andrew's cheating.
The show will go on. So I can't make any predictions because I know already.
To be fair, I didn't really want to because none of the teams stood out to me.
So no predictions from us. We get to Phil explaining the rules, and he's talking about a new twist, saying that some pit stops, if you're last, you're not eliminated, pretty much. Saying that, but it'll make your lives very, very difficult.
Interesting.
So later on, we see a new twist, but I don't think that's what he was referring to here.
No, and we'll get to it. I did not like the new twist. I did not like it one bit.
I thought it was interesting. I thought it was interesting, but we'll talk about that when we get there. But I'm thinking he's saying the speed bump. Like during a non-elimination leg, how the team who gets in last has to do a speed bump.
I forgot about that.
I think that's what it's going to be.
Right. Anyway, so as in case we didn't mention, we're starting on Santa Monica Pier in Santa Monica, California. And I feel like Phil has definitely come into himself as a presenter here. He knows how to work the camera a bit better. He knows how to kind of play to the teams. I'm feeling a little bit more connected to The Amazing Race through Phil.
Yeah, he's come into his role a lot more. You can tell. Yeah. It's like, especially looking back at the first season when he was on top of that skyscraper in his trench coat. Okay, so we say go. The teams take off running. And it is a great migration of buffalo, pretty much. And people are being trampled like it's nothing. Like, the amount of people who fall here is ridiculous.
The great migration of buffalo. But yeah, no, people are tripping and falling and stumbling over themselves left, right, and center. And what follows this is just the absolute unnecessarily long sequence of shots of just these teams running down the pier with nothing else happening other than the recovery of a couple falls. This is where I went, oh no. Oh no, it's going to be like this all episode.
Okay, I didn't really like notice that it was super long. I remember thinking like, okay, I'm a little bit bored, but I didn't mind it per se.
No, I knew in that moment, oh, this isn't going to be good.
Okay, so they get their bags and they get the clue and they are told to find the hand in the sand in Uruguay, and they may only travel on one of two flights.
Now, this is something this is probably one of the only things I really did like, is they have it so there's two flights leaving LAX at different times. So everyone's thinking, oh, we got to be on this one, the first one to leave. Obviously, no. Because the first plane only has four seats. So the assumption is, oh, well, obviously it gets into, it gets to Uruguay quicker. That's got to be the right path. The stopover in Miami, although the first plane that leaves LAX obviously gets to Miami first, the second plane to get to Miami leaves Miami for Uruguay first. And I loved that. I loved how that played the field.
I thought that was good because it definitely allowed for more airport drama to go on, and it rewards the team who inquires further about, okay, which flight is faster. Like, just because this one's leaving first doesn't necessarily mean it's actually going to arrive first.
And it's also interesting because you have the teams who, are more physically fit, can get down the pier quicker, who can get to the cars quicker, who can navigate through LAX quicker, and they're so impulsive that they don't bother to go to the other desk to check how long that's going to take. They just book the first flight. And the thing was, that was the catch, is you can't change your flight once you've booked one. So I like how it kind of had all of a sudden four teams who were really top of the field demoted.
Exactly. But, okay, before we get to the airport drama.
Yes.
We have the opening sequence, and it's back to 11 teams.
It is back to 11 teams. I did notice that. Yeah.
It's back to 11 teams. I wonder why they went back to 11.
I'm sure in the deep dive we will...
Maybe we will.
In the deep dive in 11 months.
Yes, once we get there.
No, we will try and be better. We will be better.
I did think that some of the aerial shots were kind of cool, especially with like the cars. There was the one where they were talking about Colin and Christy was turning right while everybody else was going straight, and you could like they were describing it, you could see like their car turning and everybody else go straight.
There were like, a lot more aerial shots in general, I feel like.
Although they might have lasted for a little bit too long for some.
Yeah. So teams are kind of all over LAX. We're seeing a lot of driving, a lot of navigating. And then we still have some teams struggling to start their cars at the pier.
Yeah, they can't get the back open. They can't. They're really struggling at the first hurdle here. And we go inside we see Jim and Marcia inside, and he's going to take a look at his knee.
And it's bad. When you say a gash, it truly is a gash. It's not a cut.
Yeah. And the first thing that this reminded me of is it looked like when Katniss gets struck by a fireball in Hunger Games, where his whole pant leg is just like covered in blood.
Yeah. Whatever works.
Okay. Marshall and Lance are already throwing daggers, talking about how the girls are behind us, referring to the twins and saying that they're not that smart, or like that, oh, girls are driving, so like they can't be doing that good. And it's just like, whatever.
Yeah. You basically covered it. And again, in general, with every single team, the sequence of getting to the airport was way too long. Like, I didn't need this much detail about all these teams. Like, I didn't need to know that they were, like, that one team was arguing over whether to merge or not, or you need to be more aggressive, you need to merge. I didn't need to know that.
Yeah, okay, I can agree with that. I see your point.
But the airport drama is, that was exciting for a while. It also took a bit too long for me, but there was a good amount of drama happening.
I was eating up this airport drama. I thought this was grade A airport drama. So good. Okay, so we get to the airport and it's immediately chaos. Everybody is running around, chicken's head cut off. The main, what, I don't know what I'm trying to say. Go ahead, help me out here. What's the word where it's like?
I don't know.
The whole nine yards is going on at the airport.
I did not think that's what you were going to say. You really dropped the ball on that one.
I know. So Colin and Christy are the first to the airport. However, they don't see the flags, the Amazing Race flags, at the airline counter that they're supposed to go. So they fall behind because of that while everybody else comes. Dennis makes a rude comment about Charla being a little person, which was just such of poor taste. And there is some outdated terminology here referring to Charla, which is so, like, it's 2004, just a product of its time.
But he also is trying to be mean at points. Like, he...
No, for sure. Like, it is derogatorily he is saying this.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get this little alliance here of Dennis and Erica, Alice and Donnie, and the twins are deciding that they're all going to try and, like, work together and get book flights for each other. And this whole sequence was a little bit confusing to me.
I would agree. There was a lot happening, and there was just teams piling up, and then I wasn't sure. I was like, are they allowed to do this? What flight are they at? Which desk are they at? Is this the faster way? Because, it was...
Yeah. A critique that I would have at this episode is I think it was kind of hard to follow at a lot of points, where it's like, wait a minute, how did that happen, or how did we get here? Especially at the end as well. The order that we were shown things didn't exactly add up. So what I think happened here were Allison and Donnie and then the twins were going to look at another flight while Dennis and Erica were trying to book seats for all three of those teams on the slower flight, the American Airlines flight.
But they don't know it's the slower flight at this point. All they know is that it leaves LA first.
Yes. So Dennis is trying to book these seats for the other teams. Meanwhile,
we have a line that starts forming.
And he makes 10,000 enemies with everybody waiting in line. And Marshall and Lance are going to have a go at them, saying, a scumbag is a scumbag. And they're starting off strong. And then Dennis counters with, bring it. You guys are definitely not getting on this plane now. And they go, oh. It was so good.
It was so unnecessary for leg one. Like, it really... Why the animosity so early?
It was so good. But then the gag is, while Dennis was trying to do this for the other teams, Allison and Donnie and the twins, Allison, Donnie and the twins end up getting on the better flight.
Yeah, they find out that the other flight is quicker, so they book it, and then they run back to tell the other two, and the other two are shocked, and they realize, oh, we are not allowed to change our flight.
Yeah. So they got their flights, and I guess they didn't end up getting tickets for their alliance, because that wasn't really
Which stated. Makes sense. Like, I don't think in Amazing Race, typically you're allowed to book flights for another team.
I don't think so, but I think you can reserve, maybe. I don't know.
I feel like by this point, like season 5, they'd be pretty strict on that.
Probably.
We should also add that while these teams are all standing in line, Jim is, he gets up like a paramedic from the airport or someone basically comes over to look at him, and they get on the flight. Are they on the faster flight or the, which one are they on, the faster or slower flight?
They end up actually getting on the faster one.
Yeah, so Jim and Marsha are on the faster flight, but an airport paramedic is like, hey, we need to take a look at you, because he's bleeding through his pant leg. And the paramedic right away is like, okay, you need stitches. This is bad.
And he says, you might not be able to travel. To which I said, oh, mama, we do not want to be seeing this.
No, but I will just cover this quickly. By some miracle, so they go to this clinic that's not at the airport. They have to take some sort of shuttle or something outside of the terminal. And he ends up getting 25 stitches. And apparently the doctor said it almost took out the tendon. Yeah. Which is crazy.
And they are immediately rushing back to the airport to make their flight, which is leaving at 2:40.
They make it with, like, yeah, they get back to the airport at like 2:21. They make it with, yeah, like a minute to spare.
And I'm saying, thank God they did, because that would have been an awful way to go out.
That's it. It, like, I don't particularly have an opinion on them as a team yet, like in terms of whether I want them to win or not, or I'm rooting for them, or, but I was like, no one wants to go out like that in the first leg.
No one wants to go at that, and we don't want to see that either, because then the episode's over.
Exactly.
Okay, it turns out that everybody, all the people who were behind, ended up getting on the faster flight.
Yeah.
It seemed. And there's a fun moment between Charlotte and Myrna and Linda and Karen where they realize this, and they're clapping and cheering and high-fiving. And
they this is are...
the alliance of the century.
They are very happy to have received this news. And the teams who, you know, were too impulsive and just bought their tickets without inquiring, they are feeling it. They are like, oh no.
Yes. So those teams on the slower flight are Dennis and Erica, Chip and Kim, Colin and Christy, and Marshall and Lance.
We should add too, I mean, it's not like, oh, it's 4 hours behind. It's 45 minutes behind, yeah. An hour behind, which is significant in terms of the race, but it's not like, you know, they're going to be completely separate from the pack.
Yeah. Charlotte and Myrna have a line also about talking about the beginning, about all the trampling on the run on the pier. And Charlotte says, quote, we're lucky we didn't get killed. So teams touch down in Uruguay.
And they have to take a bus 75 miles to the town, the port town where the hand is.
Yeah.
To clarify, I feel like we need to get more of a visual. So it's this sculpture of a hand in the sand, and it's just kind of the tips of a hand. Is almost as I don't know why this was the parallel I drew. What was the Marvel movie that Harry Styles was in?
I never watched
it. Immortals or is it Eternals? Is that the movie? Yes. So in Eternals, there's like these god. I saw this movie once. Let me add. I personally didn't like it. I feel like that's a popular opinion. There's these like god creature things that they like freeze or turn to stone or something. And one, I just distinctly remember, like, a hand shaped like that in the movie. Like, they're in the palm of this hand, but they're, like, super tiny because this hand is really big. That's, like, if you've seen Eternals and you remember that very specific scene, that's the parallel I'm drawing.
Okay. Well, Phil actually said when he was describing it that the finger sticking out of this hand was to represent the last thing you see before someone drowns.
Yeah, it's a very, very weighted artwork.
This is chilling. Like, why would you have this? It's a giant thing, like a statue, or I don't know, is it a statue?
Sculpture, probably.
Sculpture on the beach. It's a really bizarre sight to see.
Yeah. And nevertheless, it's 75 miles away. And the bus is, like, it just seems like they kind of book their own bus. There's no trouble really finding the platform. And is it two buses? It kind of takes all the teams to get there in a boat?
Yeah, two buses. It seems like everybody on the first flight that arrives gets on the first bus, and then everybody on the later flight gets the second bus. Like, it seemed as though they didn't really have to get there themselves. Like, it seemed as if they just, like, walked on a bus.
Yeah. So, not much is shown at the hand sculpture. They get their clues, and they're instructed to go to Isla Goriti, or Goriti Island.
Yeah.
Which, well, they have to get to a pier or a dock. For, what is the word I'm looking for? Like a port.
Yeah.
Embargo. Yeah, sorry. And then we'll be taken to the island. And here we see the whistle.
The whistle, yeah. We cut to Charlotte and Myrna, and we hear Myrna go, Charlotte, get your whistle out! This and sent me into orbit.
It was orbiting quite the Earth. Humorous. And I just thought, that's genius. Because here's the thing, they need a cab. Like, they, all teams, except for Brandon and Nicole, for a very stupid reason, decide that, let's just take a cab to the port. We'll get there so much quicker. And Charla is, well, they're both waving their arms, jumping them down, but she's got a whistle, and she's drawing all attention to herself.
She's wailing on it. She's just, like, on the side of the street, just, like, blowing into the whistle as hard as she can, into the streets of bustling traffic. But
the bustling traffic. There was, like, one car passing at a time.
Well, I don't know. But would you be able to hear a whistle? I guess if the windows are down.
If the windows are down. I mean, and they're not driving super fast. It's a residential-ish, not residential, but it's like a slow traffic area, so.
Yeah, but I guess it worked for her. And this is not the last time we're going to see the whistle this episode.
Oh, no, it's not.
So I can't wait to see the journey of Charla and her whistle this season.
Okay. As I mentioned, Brandon and Nicole decide not to take a cab to save money, but Brandon made this decision without consulting Nicole, and she's upset about that because he's saying we need to save money, and she goes, yes, but I would like you to include me on decisions. Like, they are having a very good dialogue, but it's not really going anywhere. Like, they're both able to articulate exactly why they're upset or why, yes, like, but it's not productive.
Yes. And to the point of Brandon wanting to save money, I'm saying, have you not watched the past seasons at all? Because a takeaway is that you should always spend the money.
You do, and I just feel like on the first leg, like, when I would just get the cab.
Just get the cab. Yeah. Okay, we go to Allison, where she's stating that she's clearly much smarter than Donnie. And we see, like, her, she kind of uses him as a punching bag a little bit.
She really does. I think I got her mixed up with Erica and whatever a bit sometimes, because to me, they look kind of similar.
They're both blondes.
But And they both kind of were kind of using their partners as punching bags. But she really lays into him here a bit.
Yeah. And they are kind of giving Donnie, like, the kind of a dodo edit, I guess. Like, he has no idea what's going on. Which he very well could have not known what was going on.
Yeah.
But I also want to point out there's some, like, mariachi-esque sort of music playing. This was, like, when they first arrived. While Allison was, like, talking about how she's never traveled and, like, how great it is that she's, like, in this new place.
Well, I don't think mariachi's a tradition in Uruguay. Yeah, mariachi's Mexican. So.
I don't think so, yeah. But that's just what it sounded like to me.
Fair point.
Yeah. So once the teams get to the island, they have to search through a forest for tickets to the ferry that they're going to take
next morning. I really liked this task. And the island reminded me, if anyone's ever seen Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Man's Chest, the scene when it's like Will and Norrington and Sparrow are having their sword fight all across the island. And then there's a sequence where it's like Elizabeth and the two guys are running through the forest with the trees that, and they're like tossing the chest back and forth or then the swords back and forth. That portion, that's exactly the landscape that this was set in. If you can picture that scene in the movie, that's exactly what this was set in. It's just all like very kind of narrow trunked trees, and some of them have a little clue tied around the bottom with a time. And there were three times for the boats. There was the 8 a.m., the 8:30, and the 9 a.m. So you were allowed to go and look at them and, you know, see what the time is, see if you can get something better. But once you tore one off, that was your boat. You can't exchange it.
Yeah. And this is the exact same thing that we saw last year. I mean, last season in Milan, I think it was, where it was the same thing, except with train tickets or something of the sort.
Oh, right, when they were searching around the station.
Yeah.
Or the yeah. But the thing with that is, like, I feel like this was a lot easier to check and see what the other times were. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it was a lot. I think last season they were more well hidden, but I also think that this season people played it a lot smarter. Like, people were not taking the first one that they saw. They were trying to, like, look around, and they did it very systematically. Like, I don't think anybody just kind of, like, took the first one they saw.
Well, a couple people, but
maybe, okay.
A couple people, but for the most part, people played it safe.
Yes. We have this little moment where Jim and Marsha blow off Charlotte and Myrna when they're asking if they want to work together. And Charlotte and Myrna get this whole, like, underdog thing of, like, nobody's helping us.
Here's my thing, though. I, at this point in the state, in the race, I don't think I would have anything against any team. But I'm like, it's episode one. Not that I wouldn't want to work with a team in the future, but right now I feel like you just kind of need to go everyone on their own. Like, there's no reason to have an alliance.
Yeah, but I also feel like if you're, like, entering a task with somebody and they're saying, oh, we should work together, I feel like you should just say yes.
I guess.
What could you lose by doing, especially because it's, like, so early, it's, like, a good thing to have or to do.
I guess. I don't know. I feel like this, though, it's... I think it just depends, because I think the thing is, you know, Charlotte and Myrna, in their interview, they're like, we would be so happy to help people if they help us. But I'm like, but the other team doesn't know that for sure. Like, you can say that. That's but, the thing. Like, who will actually mean it?
And this is just kind of another thing that the editors use to make us want to root for Charlotte and Myrna more, I believe. Okay, so a couple of things here. Chip has a quote. He says, we got the ticket that says 9 o'clock. There we go again, the bottom feeders. Because they were one of the last ones there. And they stay the night, they have a campfire.
Yeah, little bonfire. Right. My question, I was thinking about this as we were watching this. How do they wake up? Like, do they have alarm? Because you're not carting around an alarm clock in your bag. Are they have digital, like, because digital watches would have existed at this time, right?
Yeah, I guess you could set it on your watch.
But, like, that's a genuine question I have, is how are they waking up on time?
That's a good question, because this also calls back to the season two. Yes. Yeah. Because they miss their alarm, I guess, but did anybody have alarms? How did they know what time it is?
They never really explained what they meant by miss their alarm. Like, we were never shown an alarm clock. And I understand when you stay in a hotel, you can get a wake-up call, or there's sometimes an alarm clock on the bedside table you can set. But... I don't know. That's something I'd like to explore in the deep dive.
But this... Yeah. Okay. I don't know if they would talk about that, if anybody would really care. But they might. I guess, yeah, in a camping scenario, where are you going to get a clock? Maybe production is letting them know, okay.
Maybe, yeah.
8 a.m. people, get ready to go. Okay. The first boat leaving is Allison and Donnie, Bob and Joyce, Linda and Karen. The second one is Cammie and Carly, Jim and Marsha, Charla and Myrna. Third is Marshall and Lance, Colin and Christy, Dennis and Erica, Brandon and Nicole, Chip and Kim.
I really liked the task, though, because it really did kind of just throw the order of the teams completely again.
Yeah, it did. It was good. There was a lot of dividing teams into groups here, but the groups weren't spaced too far apart that I think everybody kind of had the ability to move around and had a chance. Yeah,
exactly. So... where do they, from here, they have to go to, what's the town called?
Maldonado.
Maldonado. And this is, it's again, we didn't have a roadblock here. And there were just kind of a lot of these tasks set out.
Yeah.
That were route markers. So the task they have to carry, it's like a, what, 55 pound slab of beef to a butcher shop through this town. But it's both members of the team can do it, I guess.
Yes. Yeah. So it isn't a roadblock because everybody's doing it.
Exactly.
Cammie and Carly, they walk right past the clue box. That's not going to be the last time they do that this episode. Charlotte and Myrna arrive. They get the clue first, and they actually arrive at the meat thing at the same time as Allison and Donnie, even though Charlotte and Myrna were on the second boat.
Yeah, they are killing it.
So queens for that. Yeah. They were doing it. And they said, you know what? Nobody was helping us find the clue, but we didn't need their help. We found it ourselves.
And I say good for them.
Serves everybody else right. Yep. Okay. Teams start carrying the beef when all of a sudden, unceremoniously, we see, Donnie, that's the yield. What?
I know. I said, excuse me?
Like, this came so out of nowhere. And we get Phil coming in saying, the team that's using the yields can force the team behind them to stop racing for a predetermined amount of time. And the team that's been yielded has to wait until the sand from this, what's that thing called?
Hourglass?
Hourglass runs out.
And I'm here saying, I don't like it. I think it's pointless. I don't see a reason to have it. I don't like it.
I think it's interesting. I think it could, I like the idea. having to sabotage another team, because that creates animosity and that creates drama.
But what is this little hourglass going to... I mean, you're sitting there waiting for sand to fall. It's not like they have to do another task.
That is true. It's not like the U-turn.
No, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, it's like the U-turn, but worse. I see what you're saying. And nobody uses it. But also, I'm wondering, does this replace the fast forward? Because we didn't have a fast forward this episode.
No, because remember in the deep dive, we were saying this is like season four was the last season where there would be a fast forward every leg. I think here now it's just going to be, I'm speaking so poorly today. It's going to be the case where only sometimes they'll have a fast forward in the leg.
Right. Okay. So only some. Yes. Okay. And you can, and the thing is with the yield, you can only use it once throughout the entirety of the race. So yes. Nobody's going to use it on the first leg. And also, its placement, like this, it's still fairly early in the leg. Like, you're not going to do that much damage to a team.
You really aren't. And at this point in the episode, I was like, okay, now it's starting to really drag. We gotta pick up a little bit here. And I will say that this beef-carrying task did bring a little more action. It did make things exciting. But yeah, this is where it started to lose me.
Okay, so here we go. We see Charlene Myrna. Myrna is going to start carrying this beef. She's really, really struggling. Charlotte's going to take all of their bags. So they give them gloves to wear while they're carrying the beef. And I guess the gloves make it harder to get a good grip on the beef. So Myrna takes them off and she says, I cannot with the gloves. I will get mad cow disease.
Yeah.
Which I enjoyed. And this whole time, like, they were really struggling.
They were.
Yeah, and it was fun to see Charlotte kind of motivating Myrna here. And they continue to struggle, and they get a local to carry their bags for them.
And it seems like Charlotte speaks quite good, or not quite good, but like enough Spanish to communicate that. Enough Spanish that I could understand.
Yes. And then Charlotte says, you know what? Let me carry this beef myself. So she puts it on her back.
Drape it over her back, and that's how they make do.
She's like carrying it on her back like a barbell, essentially, and is just walking.
She's killing it. She gets them there. However, they end up going like four extra blocks or four extra roads down than they needed to.
And this whole time, watching them navigate the task was so entertaining. I think this was the highlight of the episode.
I would agree.
Watching these women carry this giant slab of meat.
And when we say giant slab, like, imagine like this whole entire side rib cage of a cow, of a large cow. That is what they're carrying. 55 pounds of that.
That's literally what they're carrying.
Yeah.
But Allison and Donnie complete this task first, and they're told to return to Punta del Este.
Punta del Este?
It's Punta del Este. Yeah, that's probably it. Which is where they were before. And another thing is this route is confusing because they took the ferry to the island, and then they're immediately leaving the island, and then they're going here, and then they're going back to where they were before. Like, it just seems very redundant.
It felt hard. It was hard to follow.
Yes. And they're told to go across the street from a blue and white hotel where they will find their next clue.
The clue box is across the street from the blue and white hotel. And then the hotel is where we find our detour.
Yes.
Do we want to get to the detour now? Or because here's the thing. I don't want to say not much else happened with the meat carrying tasks with other teams, but not a lot did.
No,
it didn't. We saw everyone do it in too much detail, but it was nothing of note, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was nothing of note. The only thing that was of note was at the end, it seems like a lot of teams finished the meat carrying roadblock at the same time.
Oh, and they were fighting for cabs.
And they were all trying to get taxis. And they were kind of fighting, but not really.
Well,
it seemed as though they were just letting people go.
Because who's the guy who got called a scumbag at the airport? He wanted to redeem himself. So he kind of let a couple teams take it. And his partner was getting mad at him because she's like, why are you doing that? I saw that cab first, that we should be in there. And he's like, I don't want to be the scumbag here. I want to show people that I'm nice.
Not the move, Dennis. Not the move. You're trying not to be the scumbag, and look what it says in your lower third. Currently in last place. So how's that working out for you?
Look what it says in your lower third would be a great insult.
I'd rather be a scumbag than eliminated.
Fair. In the context of the Amazing Race, fair.
Okay.
But yes, so, detour.
Teams are getting to the detour. Linda and Karen are actually in first place here. They're first to get their clue after Allison and Donnie miss it initially. And the detour is zips or chips.
How do I phrase it? The kind of just guttural, not scream, but just like sigh of relief that came out of my body when Phil started explaining this detour, I went, oh, thank goodness, thank goodness, thank goodness, thank goodness. They're finally dealing with these detour options. So zips or chips? Zips, as you can assume, there's like a heights task. So it's this fairly tall hotel. What did it say, 18 stories or so? And so they have to not zip. Okay, so you start on the top of one of the towers of it, and then there's a line to the other, and you kind of have to like pull yourself across. Like you're hooked up to the line, and you're almost like rappelling sideways to the other side, and then you get on another zip line and you zip line from the top of that hotel down to the pool. So obviously that's the faster task. Chips is you play a game of roulette with 20 chips, but if you lose, you have to do zips. Mm-hmm. And I said, thank God, thank you.
This was such a good way to do the detour that they've done before, but in a much more interesting way.
Yes.
Because it gives you an incentive to do the non-scary one. Because I guess they figured out at this point that everybody's going to do the scary one. We actually need an incentive for them to not do the one that might be quote-unquote faster.
Exactly.
And a lot of people do the chips one.
However, though, and this is what we're going to get. So a lot of people do the chips one, but a lot of teams start pulling up. And they don't go across the street to look for a clue box. They kind of look out in front of the hotel, don't see anything, and then they see a door to the hotel open with one of the Amazing Race flags. So they just think, oh, let's just go in there. And they're kind of automatically ushered into the roulette room where they just start the task. So they're like, okay, great, let's play here roulette. So that's what happens. And quite a few teams end up leaving this detour for the pit stop without having collected that clue.
Yep. Carly and Cammy, they miss the clue box again, and they're one of the teams who just enter the casino and start placing bets. And I was thinking there will be repercussions.
I know. I was like, they've caught on to this now, and I knew it wouldn't be have a family meeting after everyone's come and checked in with Phil. I knew it was going to be instant at the pit stop.
Yeah, they were going to be punished for this.
Yes. Other than that, was there anything of great note in the detour?
No. Allison,
which is surprising.
No. The whole zipline thing is not that interesting to watch. Allison and Donnie, they finish first, and they're told to travel by taxi to the pit stop in the town of Punta Bayana, or something like that, to Casa Pueblo.
Which I just have to point out, Casa Pueblo translated literally means house town or house village.
And that makes sense because it just looked like a giant house.
It kind of looks like
so cool.
You remember when we were in Montreal and there's the like Expo 67 house?
Yes!
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, just like a massive building that's also kind of a community. I don't know. It seemed really cool.
What's the in Montreal called? Habitat 67. Habitat 67, if it's not directly like that, if anyone's familiar with either Casa Pueblo or Habitat 67, but it's that similar kind of idea of all these disjointed rooms almost looking like they're connected together to build this housing community.
Yes. So Allison and Donnie finish first. They're on their way to the pit stop. Linda and Karen, they're kind of finishing this up second. And did you notice the speed at which Linda and Karen hit this pool?
No, what?
During the zip line, they hit the pool so hard. Like, when Allison and Donnie were doing it, it was just kind of like a gradual decrease. They were flying down this zip line. I don't know why.
But they took a running start, obviously.
I guess so. I mean, it looked fun. They had a great time.
And you know what? We are here for the Bowling Moms, and thank goodness they're here to stay.
Thank goodness they're here to stay.
They didn't win, though. Here's the thing. Again, at this point, I was like, oh my goodness, I need this to end. I need this to end. I'm so bored with this. So I don't remember who won. And
okay.
I didn't write it down.
Well, hold on. There's still more before that. Yeah. So Chip and Kim, they also do the same thing that the twins did, where they didn't get the clue, but they just waltzed right into the casino. And Chip does a great job of narrating this. He's like saying, he's like, we were so excited to see the yellow and red marker, we just immediately run up the stairs. And they just do the roulette also. And then Marshall and Lance.
Yes.
Marshall and Lance come in and they decide they're going to do the roulette. Since Marshall says he plays roulette all the time, he gets it first try. Chip and Kim, they also get it. And we see a clip where teams are like going to the pit stop and Allison falling down the stairs. And it's such a funny scene because it's not like a big deal at all. It's almost like a transitional clip. Like they're just like showing clips of each team. And what they show of Allison and Donnie is her like sliding down the stairs.
I love that though. I truly, I am a sucker for videos of people just falling.
It's slapstick.
It's and good. You know what? Sometimes slapstick humor, especially like, I don't know if you've ever had that where you're on YouTube at 2 a.m. and all of a sudden videos that just would never be funny to you, you hit that sweet spot in your exhaustion where it's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
I know what you're saying, yes. Okay, Charlotte and Myrna open the clue for the detour, and immediately they're saying, Myrna's saying, go to the casino. We're in the casino every other week, Charlotte. This is a sign.
I love that. I love, this is a sign.
This is a sign. And then they say, we are gambling phenomenons. And it turns out they
are. Which feels like an oxymoron.
But it turns out they are because they get it.
They do get it. I've never played roulette, so I don't know how hard it is.
I don't know either. Or if like 20 chips is like a lot or a little. I don't know anything.
You and I need to go to a casino is what I'm hearing.
Right, right. And this is where it gets confusing because we saw Chip and Kim leave the detour behind so many teams.
Yeah.
But then they somehow arrive at the pit stop first.
They are in first, and they are shocked to hear this news, but Phil does not let them celebrate.
No.
He says, hold on a second.
They are shocked, and then they go from shocked to shocked again. And their reactions to this are so good. The reactions to finding out that they're the first to arrive, and then that they actually have to go back to get the
to collect the clue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, they're so animated. And also, what is going on with Chip's t-shirt? Did you notice this? There was, like, red splotches that looked like blood.
Yes, Andrew, they carried a cow. Everyone had blood.
Yeah, that would be it. That's it. I was like, what's going on with that?
Because Myrna had a white shirt on, and she just had blood across her chest for the rest of the race.
I didn't notice.
They were given lab coats at the cow-carrying test. They were given something to protect their clothes, but it seems some people just weren't that careful.
Okay, that makes sense. I was very confused why he had blood all over his shirt. Cammy and Carly arrive second, and they are also the ones who missed the clue, so they have to go back. And somehow Allison and Donnie arrive in third, even though they were the first ones to complete the detour, or so we were shown.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine with them winning this leg. It's that early season thing where I don't have a great impression of everybody, so I'm not rooting for anyone at this. This also was just kind of the teams of the season. There was no one I was particularly rooting for anyway. Yeah. Yeah, I'm whatever.
I was fine with them. Yeah, they're in third, but they're actually in first. And they win a vacation to Hawaii, compliments of American Airlines website, AA.com, which they can enjoy after the race. Yeah. And Allison has a little moment here where she's saying she wants to work out a healthy relationship.
Okay.
We'll see how that goes.
Positive attitude, positive mindset. Yeah.
And they might just. Marshall and Lance are in second, not the most likable team. Jim, the guy with the knee, we go to him and he's just like screaming as he's like rapidly pulling himself across the zip line.
And that would be me though. Because yeah. I looked at that and, oh, I think I just swallowed a bug. I look at that and I thought I could do that. Like 18 stories isn't that high, but I would also just have to, something within me would have to be letting out my fear. And I think that's it. I would just scream out of fear the entire time.
You have to. It got him through it. Bowling Moms, Linda and Karen in third.
So happy for them.
Bob and Joyce in fourth. Charlotte and Myrna in fifth. Brandon and Nicole sixth. Colin and Christy seventh. Kim and Chip, they do pull through in eighth. Because it was kind of like a tense moment of, we don't know if Kim and Chip, Cammy and Carly, are going to be able to recover from this. But ultimately they do, to my delight.
They do. And yeah, I think it was Kim who was saying when they were at the roulette table, she's like, this is definitely off. Like, we shouldn't be doing a task without a clue.
Yeah.
And she should have trusted her gut instinct there.
They should have known. But I guess when you're in the race, you aren't thinking straight. You see the flags and you're just ready to go.
But they weren't using the Amazing Race mindset.
That's the thing. They weren't. They were going quick, but they weren't thinking. All right. So now it is down to Dennis and Erica and Jim and Marsha. Who's going to come around the corner?
I really, honestly, this was a moment where I did want Jim and Marsha to win. Because I thought, or to not be eliminated. Because it goes back to what we were saying, where it's just such a horrible way to go out if it's due to an injury.
Yeah. But alas, Jim, his 25 stitches, and Marsha come around the corner and are at the pit stop in front of Phil. And they survive another day. So they are our
10th place team.
Yep. The music kind of like cuts. Dennis and Erica pull up. And it's kind of like horror movie sound effects going on in the back.
A little bit.
Like, it's very ominous. There's like kind of wind and these like creaky noises as they're pulling up. And they're eliminated.
And I'm okay with that. I didn't really have an impression of them.
Yeah.
There's a selfish part of me that likes when teams get eliminated, because then it just means, okay, I'll be able to understand these 10 other teams a lot better.
With that being said, I think like they did have a decent storyline this episode. I think we have a good idea of them, considering they are the first team eliminated relative to the first four seasons, because they had that airport drama and then the resolution of that with him giving the cab to Colin and Christy.
That's very true.
So they did have like a mini arc.
That's true, yeah. Nevertheless, it's okay to see them go, because I feel like there's a lot more to learn about these teams. As much as I didn't like this first episode, I do want to like this season, so I'm hoping that I will like it as the episodes go on.
Right. Well, I liked the first episode, and Erica says, we knew our downfall was Dennis's kindness. So there we go. And they seem to be madly in love with each other at the end.
True.
And have great things to say, even though these were the people who are broken up, right?
Or this is Dennis and Erica. What was their note?
Yeah, formerly engaged.
They did say, though, that their like engagement, they just felt rushed into by like family.
That's
true. So I feel like it's not like they didn't want to not be together. It's just they were not ready to be engaged, is the way it sounds.
Right. So maybe this was the experience that they needed to bring them back together to have a proper engagement and maybe get on to be married in later days.
Only the deep dive will tell.
Okay, so that was a long first episode recap. It was a long first episode.
It was an hour.
Yeah. I liked it. Some of us didn't. But we'll see what happens next episode.
Yes.
I think we'll cap it off here.
Yes, apologies for the delays. We love you guys. We thank you so much for all your kind emails, your kind words. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. If you want to send us an email, amazingracerewind@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, Amazing Race Rewind. And yeah, keep listening.
Period. Okay. Bye.
Bye.